Even though that is our passage, I'd like to read the entire section from verse 1 onwards. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Romans chapter 6, verse 1 through 14. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it?
Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We are buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too may walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this. We know that our own self was crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. The one who has died has been set free from sin. But if you have died with Christ, we believe that you will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, dies for them, but the life he lives, he lives to God. So you also must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. And this is the quote for sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Father, we want to thank you for your word that you have given to us as a gift. And so we ask you this morning that you will help us, that you will minister to us through your word, by your spirit, and that you will help us to fix our eyes on you, that you will give us ears that will listen, and hearts that will be receptive, and wills that are submissive to you and your word. I pray that we will respond to your word in a way that will fully honor you and glorify you. And so we want to come at this time and we ask that you will be with us, that in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is said that the Christian life consists of three basic steps. Number one, it is to know the truth. To know the truth is an important first step in Christian life. But it is not enough to know the truth. We must do the next thing, and that is to believe the truth. But it's not enough to merely know and believe the truth. We must also ultimately yield the truth. We must, in other words, live out that truth. In this section, starting from verse 6 onwards, Paul asks the presenting the glorious gospel of grace in sanctify and unto sanctify. Paul anticipates the question from his audience and he raises this question himself in verse 1 as he answers the rhetorical question, and he says, is the grace of God, is he talking about the grace of God all the while? And so he's asking, is the grace of God a barrier? And so he continues because the grace of God is a barrier. And in response to that, Paul first presents the truth about the reality of who we are in Christ. He states how we are good happened in verse 2. In verse 4 and 5, he says, our whole life dead with Christ, we are believed and we are raised to a newness, a brand new life, all just because of our union with Christ. He also says in verse 6 that our own self was crucified with Christ and we are no longer enslaved to sin. In verse 7, he says we are set free. Paul wants believers to know the truth about who we are in Christ and our relationship with sin. The one that he uses the word know three times in that passage from verse 3 to verse 9. The Christian life does not stop at comprehending the truth or knowing the truth, knowing what we translated into believing. That's what Paul says in verse 11. Consider yourselves good to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Because it is under the use of you know who you are in Christ. In verse 7, he says, you can hide yourself and believe that you're dead to sin and alive unto God. Believe the truth. However, the Christian life is not just about, like I said, not just about knowing and believing the truth, but it must be ultimately willing to be true. It's not enough to know that you are dead to sin and alive unto God. It's not enough to believe the truth. The truth must be translated into actual living in our life. The truth that we know in our mind must be believed in our heart. And it must ultimately be lived out in your life, in my life. And that's what Paul is going to say in verses 12 through 14. Now that you know the truth, now that you believe the truth about who you are in Jesus Christ, now obey it. He calls us to live out this truth. That's why I simply titled my message this morning as live it out. And the main point is this. Yes, we have been set free from the dominion of sin. We must offer ourselves to God and not to sin. That is the three verses Paul presents to us three things. Number one, he talks about three things we must not do. Number two, he talks about something he must do, a prescription. Number three, he talks about something we must hang on to, the promise. We talk about three things this morning, the prohibition, the prescription, and the promise. And let's take one of the prohibition. Those prescriptions are conducting different from what we were saying. The fact we were under sin. That is what Paul says in Romans chapter 3 in verse 9, that we were under sin, under the dominion of sin, under the authority and the ruling power of sin. We were enslaved to sin. In Romans chapter 5, he talks about how we were in the world and we were born with a bent towards sin. We should be missing about sin. But praise God that those who are in Christ, according to Romans chapter 6, verse 6 and 7, we are no longer slaves to sin, but we are set free from the dominion of sin. Now then, if you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, you will. The truth is this. The truth is you are still under the dominion of sin. And no matter what you do, you will never ever break free from the bondage of sin in your life. The only way to be set free from the rulership and the reign of sin in your life is to put your trust in Jesus Christ. Because it says in John chapter 8 and verse 36, if the Son sets you free, you will be free. careful of who you put your trust in Jesus Christ. And to those who are already in Christ, have been set free from the tyranny of sin, even all things in verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Let not sin reign. If there was a time when you were under the captivity of sin, you could not say no to sin, be lost to the drumbeat of sin, be danced to the tunes of sin. You were totally bound under the control of sin. Now, it is now in Christ. I have faith. Because we have been set free from the authority of sin. We are union with Christ. We die to sin. And sin is no longer a king. Sin is no longer a master. We have one master and one king and one Lord in our lives, and that is Jesus and Jesus alone.
And that throne in your heart belongs to Him and nobody else. And so Paul is asking, how can you then obey sin, when sin is not your master anymore? It's like this. Let's say you are working in a particular company and you had this crazy boss whose directions you had to follow day in and day out, but then you got a new job in another company and now you have a new boss. Even if the old boss comes and keeps directing you, who will you listen to? The new one. Because you're no longer under this old boss anymore. And Paul is saying you're no longer under this old ruler of your life anymore. You have a new master. And so do not let this old master reign in your life anymore. Brothers and sisters, our relationship towards sin has changed. Previously, we were slaves to sin. We loved sin. We lived in sin. Could not do anything but sin. And on the other hand, we were fighting against God. We were rebels against God. But now, that relationship has changed. Christ is our Lord. He is our new master. Our allegiance is towards Him. Our lives must be lived unto Him. And our fight and our rebellion must be against our old master, that is sin. We can't get comfortable with sin. We must fight against sin. Although we are dead to sin, here's another clarification that I need to make at this point. Although we are dead to sin, the truth is, sin is not dead in us. Although we have this new nature in Christ Jesus, there's also this old nature in us. And the sin uses the old nature to fight against the new nature. And he tries to reign. Even though he's not this master anymore, he wants to reign. But where does sin try to reign? Paul says in verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Where does sin reign? Where does sin want to reign? He wants to reign in us, in the mortal body. It is in this decaying and dying body that our new man and our new nature is now living in this old, unredeemed body, which one day will be redeemed and be glorified, and we're going to be given this glorified body. But here, it is this mortal body that sin tries to reign in us. It is here the battle for holiness takes place, my dear brothers and sisters. It is here that sin tries to gain control over our lives. And that's why Paul adds in verse 13, in verse the first part of verse 13, he says, do not present your members, that is the parts of your body, to sin as instruments for unrighteousness. Sin wants to feed. Sin wants to use parts of our body, our being, as instruments of unrighteousness. And Paul says, don't feed sin.
When we offer the members and parts of our body to various use and temptations of sin, he allows sin to reign in us. When we offer our minds to think lustful thoughts and thoughts of bitterness and hatred, thoughts of jealousy and envy, we make sin reign in us. When we offer our eyes to watch porn and use thoughts that is obscene, we make sin reign in us. When we offer our tongues to go from gossip and slander and tear down people and speak foul language, we allow sin to be controlled in us. When we use our ears to flare gossip and all kinds of ungodly things, we let sin reign. When we offer our hands to text and type and engage in ungodly chats, when we offer our feet to take us to places we must not visit, we are allowing sin to reign in us. When we give over our bodies to any kind of sexual pleasure outside of marriage, when we offer our bodies to be intoxicated with excessive alcohol or get high on drugs, when we give over our bodies to gluttony or laziness, we make our sin to reign in us. Brothers and sisters, this morning we need to examine ourselves. Are you letting sin reign in you by offering yourself to sin? Are you feeding its appetites? Are you feeding sin's desires? Even though you could be set free from the dominion of sin, are you still living like a slave to sin? Surrendering yourself completely to its service. Bible says, do not let sin reign in your life. Don't offer yourselves as instruments of unrighteousness. This is not real. So what must we do? Please ask the Lord to be born. That is just listening. Instead of giving into sin and surrendering to it, Paul says, present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life and the members to God as instruments of righteousness. Because we have been brought from death to life, because we have been recipients of His grace, we must now present ourselves, our entire body and our being to God as instruments of righteousness. Thus, brothers and sisters, it will be antidote to the pleasures of sin and also something that can help us make progress in our personal holiness, and that is to present ourselves to God. My presence here means to place yourself at someone's disposal. To present yourself, the word present means to place yourself at someone's disposal. So in essence, Paul is saying, don't give yourselves and parts of your body to sin, but place them at the disposal of God and say, God, let them be used for the instruments of righteousness. Now, this is not a one-time commitment. This is a daily, continuous, intentional giving of ourselves a place to God to be an instrument of righteousness. Another heavy close, another we've been good peer mentors to each other for many years. Brother being used wonderfully well in India. I have a story if you can share this, but he was at one point so deeply connected to our affairs from the other fellows. When he got sick, he used to pray this way. He used to pray this every day, praying, Lord, I offer my eyes to you. I offer my body to you. May it be used as an instrument of righteousness. And pray that day after day after day after day for years to come. The Lord has honored that. Because this brother of glory found one of the godliest men that we have. Because he was chosen to offer himself as a pilgrim and not to the priest. And so, for when you make a connection before God this morning, will you place every part of your being at the disposal of God? You say, God, I am not. I belong to sin anymore, God. I belong to you, and so I'm going to give myself fully and wholly to you. I don't want to keep any bit of my life, my body to myself, but I want to give every bit of it to you. I don't want to be an instrument of unrighteousness, obeying sin's desire day in and day out, God. I'm tired of it, Lord. Every single day we have this choice either to offer ourselves and members of our body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness or place them at the disposal of God to be used as instruments of righteousness. As we live in this world, in this age, we know that the body is used. All kinds of ungodliness in this world, but maybe live differently. Maybe live to honor God if our body is disfigured, but the Son of Christ. Who wants to know the last word? The Psalms, verse 14. Will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. The part of the verse of the passage is not a command, it's not a statement, it's a clear promise to the believer. It's an assurance for the genuine believer that sin will be you. Sin may cause you to stumble, but sin will never ever have dominion over your life ultimately. And you need to hold on to that promise. And we need to plead with God based on this promise in the areas that we are struggling in our lives. We need to pray and bring it to God and say, God, your word says, that sin will not have dominion over my life, O God, and so give me victory in this area, in this area, in this area of my life. The question to ask is, why will sin not have dominion over us? The God says, it's because you're not under the law. You're not under law, but under grace. The law represents the old covenant. And grace is the most important characteristic of the new covenant in the redemptive history of God. The people in the old covenant cracked the law, which was, again, a gracious gift of God. But the law only exposed their sin. They did not have the ability to keep the law, because the law did not give them the power to keep the law and But in the new covenant, in those who are under grace, we are given the power to obey, to say no. And this is what the prophets in the Old Testament were looking at. If you look at Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31 to 33, this is what they were anticipating. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, and I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that he made with his fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the home, the land of Egypt. A covenant that they broke is with me. But this is the covenant that I made with the house of Israel after these days, declares the Lord. I will put them law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And another verse in Ezekiel chapter 36, 26 and 27, this is what Ezekiel prophesied about the new covenant. I give you a new heart and a new spirit, I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you. And here's the comes. I'll put my spirit within you so that you walk in my statutes, observe my ordinances, and that's the blessing. That's why Paul says we are under grace. Ability and power to live this life that we've chosen to live. So as believers, God has given us this spirit, has given us the power and the ability to walk in this space. If you find another word, what is my life when it works? If I just have to do with loving and power, I think that's what Brother Mark said it on. Before we pray. So for the grace of God, observe this brilliant foundation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, applied, godly life in the present age. Who lives godly, applied, self-controlled life in this present age? By the grace of God. The grace of God not only saves us, the grace of God gives us the power to live by the will of God. The grace of God that trains us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions is the important thing. And this is my sense. Saying no to sin and yes to God. And all that Paul was talking about in the previous two verses. Saying no to sin and yes to God is possible because of the perennial and powerful grace is available to us. And that's why sin may be in us, but until we are glorified to the Lord, or sin will not have dominion over us because we are under the grace. And so we must not. If you are struggling with sin this morning, when you look at your life and you're like, I'm tired of this, when you're frustrated with your life, you have the sin of I who came in. You say, yes, there is something more to this. You don't have to do this on your sin. You are not fighting the law. You are in the grave. Of God is giving true hope to anyone who is helping to fight your sin. through this compelling grace, we will grow and increase discipline in godliness, living out our life in the world and being instruments of righteousness. And he must be on the source of this as well. God, I want to say no to sin. I want to say yes to God. Today, on every single day of my life, help me to God. Take a few moments to reflect. Reflect on what God has to do. Also to reflect upon our own life. Who are we looking for? To whom? To whom are we giving ourselves? Are we being used as the same way we used as Christ made? Are we giving ourselves over, our bodies, or anything to sin or Christ? Is our body or being the instrument of unrighteousness, or the instrument of righteousness? May we live and sustain our life through God. The goodness that we don't have to do it on our own, we have the grace of God available to us. We can feel all good as well. As we live and live on our own. God, we want to thank you for this fruit. God, may this fruit liberate us, God. I pray that you cause us, each one of us, to walk worthy of the gospel next week. We thank you, God, that we don't have to do this on our own. That you give us and that you give us the ability. And so the whole thing is obedience to you, not to change, not to get acceptance from you, but we are because we already found the grace, because we are already successful, because we already been accepted in Christ. We can live out this life in gratitude to you, in your grace which has never, never been. So we pray that you gain our life. Help us to live life by ourselves and bring glory to our Lord. We ask you, Father.